Hey, welcome to a very special edition of Sentinel Watch. I say very special because joining us here in the studio, we have Jenny Sawyer. Jenny is a Christian Science practitioner. I looked you up on the, you know, journal website there.
Uh-oh.
Jenny. No hiding. obviously, a lot of Sentinel Watch listeners know Jenny's voice. Tony, welcome.
Hi.
It's great to have you around the table.
Yeah, it's great to be on the other side of the table.
Yeah, well, I don't feel like you're that far away. I mean, we're Zoom linking in, and we've created a sort of virtual table, and we hope you'll pull up a chair and sit down and share with us your ideas over at cssentinel.com. And I'm going to, by the way, I suppose we should mention something. We have had, and I know you know about this, Jenny, Tony, maybe some listeners have not heard. We have set up at cssentinel.com a terrific resource. It's a way for you to literally get involved in the conversation. cssentinel.com/audio comments. Go over there and you can, you know, read about how it works. But basically, you use your smartphone to record a comment or an idea or a thought, or maybe it's an experience, a testimony you might want to share. There are loads of ways that you can literally be in this conversation. And we can't wait to hear from you. It's cssentinel.com/audio comments. Tony, how did you get involved in the full-time practice of Christian Science yourself? I know you're a journalisted practitioner and obviously a known voice here on Sentinel Watch.
You know, actually, that's a really brilliant question because I don't think anyone's ever asked me that on air before. But for me, one of the main stepping stones was actually reading the news and learning that I didn't need to just sit back and take it in, but there was a way to respond that made me feel I was part of the solution rather than part of the problem. You know, there are many ways to get into the practice of Christian Science. A lot of people get in mainly through having experiences of physical healing or healing of emotional difficulties or financial difficulties. And I had all those, and that was great. But for me, the thing that was so big in my heart when I didn't have Christian Science and didn't know how to respond on a spiritual basis to things was the world just seemed like a frightening place. And, you know, it's like there was an accumulation of scares. You know, you may make progress on one little thing and something more would come up that was just even...
Does that sound familiar? Yeah,
doesn't it just... So, you know, so I was in that mindset where I was thinking, I just, you know, I had a good heart. People everywhere have a good heart. They want to see things peaceful. They want to see people healthy. They want to see good. But when you get the news coming in hour after hour, and when I was growing up, it wasn't quite hour after hour. It was like newspapers every day and the evening news. But it was still coming in regularly. Yeah. And then through Christian Science, I found that I could turn to the news with a spirit of, I can pray about this. I can see things through a different lens, which, you know, helps me in my life and I'm sure can bring some support to solutions emerging on this bigger scale of the news.
Jenny, I got to ask you the same question then. I mean, good luck following that story up.
I know. Well, hopefully my story is a good companion to Tony's. I mean, I would say that my experience probably started out a bit more narrowly. I really wanted to engage with the practice of Christian Science on a more, I guess you could say, professional level because of some healings that I'd had. And I felt like, oh my gosh, I have been immeasurably blessed by Christian Science. And how could I not want to give that to other people? But as time has gone on, I think my thought has broadened about the reach and applicability of the ideas that I've learned from studying Christian Science. And I've really kind of keyed into this one core idea in Christian Science, which is that everything is a thought. We live in a mental universe. Now, I know that's like a big thing to put out there right away, so we can talk about that further. But what has been so cool to me about starting to catch more glimpses of that is to realize that behind all of these huge, overwhelming, intractable problems is a thought that we can deal with through prayer. And I'll just maybe give one small example just so people kind of have a handhold as we continue our discussion. But there was a recent article that I read about how car crashes have been surging, especially in the last year or so of the pandemic here in the United States. And that just seems like a very scary and sad problem. And of course, they talked about, you know, families that had been impacted by this and which demographics it impacts more and all of this stuff. But what I thought was so interesting was in that story, there was one sentence that talked about how basically what's behind it. And they said it is anger and a feeling of helplessness and frustration brought about by the conditions occasioned by the pandemic.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, wow, okay, I have a way to help now because I know how to pray about things like anger or frustration or helplessness. You know, I feel like the understanding of God that I've gained through my study of Christian Science in just large and small ways have shown me that, for example, you know, God's ever-present love helps to alleviate and eliminate a climate of anger. So anyway, that's just kind of a small window into how my practice has evolved over the years. But I'm keying in more and more, I think, to really the thoughts behind the issues that we're seeing in the world today and feeling more empowered to deal with them.
Wow. You know, in the game of pool, I think they call it snooker, where you're from, Tony. There's this thing where you sort of eye up the cue ball and you chew it up. Well, you have cued us up perfectly for the reason we're all sort of gathered around this table here. It was funny because as you were talking, all I could think about, I don't know how long you've all been in Christian Science, but I'm not ashamed to say I've been a student of Christian Science going back to the time when I can remember seeing copies of the Christian Science Sentinel, you know, the printed version of this program, with a lady and a lamp on the
cover. Oh, wow, really?
Right? I mean, we're talking old. Now, maybe these were things that my grandmother had around, because she was a Christian Science practitioner. I remember wondering, why this lady and this lamp? And it was ornamentation of a classical style, I suppose, but
yeah.
It also had this saying it from Jesus. It said, "What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch."
Mm-hmm.
And what we're talking about, in a way, is directly within the spirit of what the Christian Science Sentinel has always done. We're talking about looking out at the landscape and pointing out these things, which, you know, I think, Jenny, as you were so eloquently explaining there, you know, where you were talking about sort of awakening to this idea that, yeah, there's more. You know, I can be a part of this healing thinking. We have an opportunity to talk about some of those things we need to be watchful for, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I don't know, since we're going in a circle here, Tony, I feel the momentum. What's on your short list? I mean, what are things that you think that we should be thinking about right now?
Just to let listeners know, we still have that sort of banner of Jesus' statement. We don't have the lady on the lamp and the lamp on the cover anymore, but we still have that important statement about watching. And, you know, we are, as Jenny said, we're watching for thought. I mean, that's absolutely key. And as I said, when I felt equipped to challenge the news, one of the things that emerged in one of the times I was praying for a particular situation, and I honestly don't remember what it was now, but, you know, something that was in the international news at the time, you know, on the surface, there were so many policy, political, other things. But I remember as I was just praying, you know, on the basis of the ideas I was learning in Christian Science, which really starts from this basis of God being not only a good power, but all power, and just trying to understand that. What does that mean? How does that have an impact? How can that help? But as I did, a thought really clearly emerged about a particular fear that was behind all this. You know, so rather than praying about the things on the surface, it became very clear in thought that fear was a huge factor. But I do remember that as I prayed, I felt this real clarity that I knew that if I understood God, not only as all powerful, but as love, as divine love, and as ever present, in that sense of love, I could see that this fear was an imposition on everybody involved. Mm. You know, so it wasn't about taking sides. It was about taking the side of everyone and praying about how we could see this fear lifted on the basis of understanding the allness of God as love. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I also remember that feeling afterwards that things did progress in that situation in a notable way. And you just appreciate that as you get some clarity, it suddenly feels very logical and reasonable that there should be progress.
Mm. Wow. That's, you know, as I was going through, I was almost going through my own little checklist of things that I've been concerned about. You know what I mean? And everything you said applied to that situation because of your focus being not the situation itself, but the underlying fear, which seems to be at the root of so much of what it is we talk about.
Yeah. Well, can I just actually, you know, breaking the circle, and with apologies to Jenny. Okay.
Go for it, Tony.
Yeah, I'd just like to piggyback on that because, you know, one of the situations in the news as we're recording this program is the problem between Ukraine and Russia. At the moment, it's a sort of wait and see situation. But, you know, by the time this goes out, it will be different. But one thing that's emerged, a colleague has shared with me some articles she's read where it really pinpoints, perhaps we have a sense of an aggressor here and a victim country. But one of the things these articles has brought out is that there's a lot of history of fear in Russia of being invaded. And, you know, that's a really interesting thing to think about is, am I open to all the fears that need to be addressed in a particular situation, not taking one fear and siding for that fear? That doesn't make any sense. It's like fear is an imposition on humanity, and whatever form it takes, we can take it into our spiritual embrace, if you like, and try and shine some light on it from that basis of the allness of God's love.
See, it's at this point, Tony, that I'm thinking that it, around this virtual table, I would like to have that listener, right, sitting right here, following up with a brilliant question. Once again, cssentinel.com/audio comments. But Jenny, you heard what Tony said there. And one of the things that, well, you can probably hear it a little bit in my voice. I mean, that's exciting to me. Mm-hmm. The idea that focusing on what some of these underlying mental conditions are that are common to just about every fear we have, focusing on that presents enormous opportunity.
Yeah, and what I love about that is I feel like that means when we pray about one thing, we're actually praying about multiple things. I mean, I think that's the thing that can get really both overwhelming and distracting about having this barrage of news reports that's coming at us sometimes minute by minute. On the one hand, we're all very tuned in, and so we know what's going on, and that's helpful. But on the other, I think sometimes the stuff on the surface ends up being a little bit of a decoy for what's actually going on. I think Tony was getting at that a little bit in his comments about Ukraine and Russia. But, you know, for example, taking that issue of fear, as Tony pointed out, praying about fear in one instance, you're addressing it in any situation where fear seems to be a problem. And one of the things that's inspired me recently, actually, is a passage from Science and Health that says, "The depth, breadth, height, might, majesty, and glory of infinite love fill all space. That is enough." And what I've been loving about that passage is, to me, it's one of those great umbrella passages that I can pray with that, again, covers a lot of ground, covers a lot of issues. One topic that's been really important to me recently has been praying about things that seem entrenched, you know, things that just seem to have a long history to them, whether they be personal or a community or national or global, for that matter. And the other day, in thinking about that idea of the depth of infinite love filling all space, I had this really interesting image come to mind of a tree with a really extensive root system. And you think about, with a giant tree, just how far those roots have to go down to stabilize it. And I thought, that's how far infinite love goes. There is no place, no matter how deep, how far back, that infinite love cannot touch. Because of the depth of it. Like, it's like that root system of love reaching and touching everything. And then another image came to me of a place where I walk in my neighborhood where there's some beautiful trees and the sidewalk is buckling because of the root system of the tree actually breaking up the cement. And that was such a powerful image to realize the power of this root growing. I mean, you don't think of a root as particularly strong in comparison to cement, but as it naturally grows, it breaks up anything that's standing in its way.
Jenny, I want to jump in here because as I'm hearing you talk, and I'm so attracted by these ideas, there's something that feels almost like a natural thing, you know. I am worried. I'm just going to be candid here. I'm worried. How is this like or unlike any number of New Age ways of thinking about the relationship between matter or some physical condition, mental condition, and healing? How is this different from any number of here's the way out approaches
that we get pitched
all the time?
Yeah, and I don't know if I said this before, but the passage that I read was from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, who is the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. So First of all, definite difference there. She was doing something very different based on her study of the Bible, and specifically Jesus's teachings were the foundation for everything that, you know, she wrote and was revealed to her, and that was the basis of her own healing. And Tony, feel free to jump in here too, but I would just say, to put it in my own words, the difference for me with Christian Science is that I'm not trying to take some nice, helpful, maybe even powerful spiritual ideas and try to kind of beat a problem into submission. You know, I think that we live in a very problem-oriented society, and then we go and seek solutions. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that model per se, because we are seeking the solutions. But I think when I pray, what I'm looking to get is a completely different perspective, where instead of being problem-oriented, I am God-oriented. And as I become God-oriented, I see more of the nature of what I would call the real universe, which is present here and now, but I think sometimes it seems like we only catch glimpses of it. You know, we see these glimpses of good, but then there seems like a lot of this other junk mixed in. But I get more of this deep sense that God good truly is all and is real, and that this universe that we live in, as I said, it's a mental thing. It is spiritual. It's not this limited mortality matter-based universe that we actually live in.
So what I hear you saying is clearly based in God, or as we're talking about God here, as divine love, something that is all ever present. All right. Well, why Christian Science? Tony, I'm sure you've given that a lot of thought over the years.
Yes, not coming from a Christian background, it was really interesting to find Christian Science was, to me, the way of salvation, you know, because it is absolutely, as Jenny said, rooted in the life, the works, the healings of Jesus. And Mrs. Eddy, when she discovered Christian Science, and, you know, it was kind of really revolutionary, she absolutely came from that Christian ethos. She was brought up in the church, and she loved the church, and she never stopped loving the church. And Jesus was definitely her inspiration, her model, as she formulated these ideas of how our understanding of God can actually heal. You know, that it wasn't that miracles were in the past, and they could actually heal in the present. The understanding of God, the love of God, could heal in the present. And to me, it kind of means what Jenny was saying there. It's like Christian Science sees that Jesus was proving in every healing he did that the sole reality of our existence is not what we see through the eyes and hear through the ears and touch and taste. That's kind of a very limited misperception, you could say, of this pure reality, the spiritual reality, in which each and every individual has their place as a an expression of God, a spiritual expression of God. And what Jesus was doing was he was showing us that that is who we are. And he was demonstrating what that means to be that individual child of God. He was so full of the understanding of that, that he could heal with such grace, such ease, and such power. And we may be learning step by step to follow in those footsteps. Every time we have a healing, whether it's a tiny little modest thing in our lives, or whether it's a, a major physical problem, a disease, or whether we're looking at the news and saying, I can contribute to this by not getting angry, by not getting fearful, but by seeing through that lens of everyone is that child of God that Jesus was proving to us that we all are.
Jenny, what Tony is saying here is that there's no reason we need to wait. There's no reason that we need to think about this in any further depth than we have a lack of harmony when we were talking about Ukraine in this situation. And on this date, we are still waiting for what many people fear will be the other shoe to drop. Mm-hmm. But no matter where we are, temporally speaking, we can begin that prayerful work right now, if I understand what he's saying.
Oh, I agree. And it's funny, I was actually, as Tony was talking, I thought of a passage from the Bible from Romans 12. And I had thought of this actually a few weeks ago when I was feeling really overwhelmed by some things that I'd read in the news. And it's really simple. It says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good."
Now, how do you do that practically speaking? How do you overcome evil with good? Where do you begin?
Yeah, well, so I'm going to share something that's been helpful to me. It's a little bit funny, actually. So there's a trend on social media called Duet Me, and it's where people make these side-by-side videos. It started with musicians, obviously. Maybe somebody will be playing, like, the bass for a particular song, and then other people will record videos either playing along with it or singing with it, and then it makes one video, and it's a side-by-side duet. Well, I saw recently that there were some scientists who were doing duets, so to speak, with people spreading misinformation on social media.
I see.
And it was fascinating to watch because they were very calm. They were very sure in their scientific knowledge, which was really striking to me. And as the person reeled off ridiculous facts that had nothing behind them, but, you know, have been circulating in the media, they would just step by step debunk them. And I thought, well, I'm a Christian scientist. And I have spiritually scientific facts that I know to be true and that I have confidence in. When stuff comes up in the news, why don't I duet it? And so what I've been trying to do in just simple ways is when stuff comes up that seems like evil and overwhelming, to contradict it with any spiritual fact that comes to mind. So, you know, this to me would be the umbrella of good that we're talking about. Usually these are ideas related to the nature of God, for example, as I've learned about God from the Bible and science and health. Maybe it's about the nature of God's creation being like God, so also good. Just very simple things. But I find that something about the simplicity of it just makes it seem more doable, and also it more quickly kind of gets me on top of things. So it's not just one thing piling on after another, but it's sort of like something comes up and I try to address it with prayer, even if it's just a simple and brief prayer right away. And then I'm kind of primed when the next one comes along.
Yeah, I love that word simplicity, Jenny, and I love the way you've described that. I'd love to share a little example from my experience in church, which I think speaks to another way we can approach the news, because we might think, oh gosh, I don't have enough ideas. I don't feel I understand enough to really solve this or whatever, which is totally reasonable given the complexity of so many situations. But one day I went to usher at my branch church, and I was in church probably half an hour before most other people. And one of my fellow ushers came in and started ranting, not at me, you know, it wasn't at me at all. It was just ranting because of something that was going on in her life. And I did what I kind of do best, which is listen and just, you know, not react and just love. And that's all I did. You know, that's literally all I did. I didn't even offer a word, as far as I remember. And in that same meeting, it was a Wednesday meeting where in Christian Science churches, people can give testimonies. And this individual stood up and gave a testimony and explained how she was ill when she came into the church. And she described our meeting, but without naming me. and she was healed by the conversation. And it's like, there wasn't a conversation, but it's like, but she was healed. And so what we can do if we're approaching the news and we think these issues are too complex, I don't know how to pray about it. There are two definite ways we can pray, and that is to note our own anger or fear and just work in our own thoughts on the basis of what we understand of God and our relationship to God to heal ourselves of reacting with fear or anger. You know, if we're reacting with fear or anger, we're not being part of the solution as we can be. And we're all equipped to be part of the solution. And so, as I said, there didn't need to be a conversation with this individual. There just needed to be a thought that didn't get into the drama, because it was based on this understanding. We're all in that grand point, that spiritual reality. And also, we're all the children of God. And I can't remember how I thought, you know, but I do know that that's how I responded. And I do know the impact was a healing.
That's an amazing example, Tony. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I just want to add one little thing to that, which is maybe some people feel like they're not exactly sure when they feel really angry or reactive how to deal. And especially, like, I think when emotions feel very overwhelming and justified, they can be tough. So I just wanted to share one little thing that's been helpful to me, which is just to pause and listen to God. And even that phrase, I think, can seem opaque. But for me, what it means is just try to open myself up to what divine love, what this infinite good is communicating to me about what's real. And so often it's just like, I'll just get a little phrase from a hymn, from the Christian Science hymnal, for example, that meets me completely where I am and just diffuses, you know, whatever the emotion is that can seem so intense.
Jenny, you know, I mentioned a way for our listeners to join our conversation. Well, we actually heard from someone in Golden, Colorado. This is Diane Witters talking about something that resonates very much with what you were just talking about.
I was hesitant to listen to the Sentinel Watch podcast that focused on the topics of government because, frankly, I've been depressed about government and wanting to avoid anything to do with that topic. But when some friends and family members referred me to these podcasts, saying how much they got out of them, I did listen, and I was so glad I did. It was real, it was thought-provoking, relatable, and it took away a lot that I'm going to apply in the coming months.
That's the voice of Diane Witters, who has reached out to us from Golden, Colorado, where she hears Sentinel Watch. We'd love to hear from you, too. Thanks, Diane, for reminding us about pausing and thinking about spiritual ideas and how much it does make a difference when you're dealing with some of the subjects in the news. Jenny, Tony, spot on comments. This has been a terrific conversation. I want to apply a lot of what you guys have been talking about, and I know that other listeners are impressed by the quality of thinking that Jenny Sawyer and Tony Lobel have brought to this discussion.
And David Brown.
Well,
yeah.
this has been a wonderful roundtable for me to learn from, and I know our listeners got a lot out of it, too.
Yeah.
Jenny and Tony are both engaged in the public practice of Christian Science healing. And of course, you'll hear them here on Sentinel Watch as things develop. And in the meantime, we would love to hear from you. Don't forget cssentinel.com/audio comments. That's cssentinel.com/audio comments. Check it out and give it a shot. We would love to have you join this conversation. On behalf of Jenny Sawyer, Tony Lobel, and the rest of the Sentinel Watch team, I'm David Brown, wishing you all the very best.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.